Exodus chapter 33. The sermon this morning is going to talk about the circles of intimacy with God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, that while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face ye shall not see. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It is so good to have you here this morning, being in the house of God with us. We appreciate Sister Massey being with us today. Gave us a scare last Sunday night, but she's here tonight, and I'm glad to see you, sis. Amen. Be honest with you, I was glad when I walked in Sunday night, you were laughing and feeling better. Amen. Because I didn't know what to expect when I headed to the hospital, but things turned out great. Amen. Glory. Praise God. I knew things was okay when Hoppy told the doctor, if you can't save her, don't worry, I got somebody lined up. That was when he realized everything was okay. I think he began to lose the worry. Amen. But we do appreciate her being here. And I've got to just take a moment. Now, everybody, when they have a baby, stands up and holds it up and lets everybody see it. I got a new daughter. I can't hold her up, but if she'll stand up. For the first time in her life, she's here at this church. Her name's Stroop now. Oh, we got the same first initials, KS. Amen. Amen. Don't look at me like that. I'm proud. As soon as we have a grandbaby, I'll hold it up for you. Right now, it's just two dogs, and I'm not bringing them to church. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, church. I'm not going to preach long. I know it's thundering outside. Don't worry. They said there wasn't going to be any tornadoes, just some hail and rain and lightning and wind. I don't know about y'all, but I got corn got knocked down Friday afternoon. I stood it up yesterday. I'll probably be doing it again tomorrow. Amen. But as long as it produces, hello, there's a sermon in that you may hear before it's over with. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a moment about the four circles of relationship that are found in the story that I read about today. See, when the children of Israel were moving out, they went through the wilderness, they came to Mount Sinai, and when you get there, you're going to see painted on that mountain and in that experience around that mountain, four basic circles of intimacy with God. If you were to look at the first one, you're going to find out that, God is important in our life. Hello? Amen. I got to get back to my outline. I'm bad about preaching without outline, so I got to work on this. I'm learning. But I keep looking back at Sister Lauren. She's giving me this look like, where do I go now? So I got to stay with this. But you know, church, the truth of the matter is, in the Old and New Testament, we can show you pictures of the four circles of intimacy with God. And you know, the thing we need to understand is everything flows out of our relationship with God. Have you ever noticed that? You watch people that's not real close to God. Have you ever noticed that they're constantly something wrong? They're up and down. They're in and out of church and all those things are going on. But when they really get tied into God, things begin to flow so much smoother for them. I've never understood people that don't want that. I don't know about y'all, but I've been that way. It happens to all of us. I mean, you know, I wanted to fly the plane and God let me have the cockpit and say, go for it. Then when I hit a mountain or something like that, I'd get back and say, well, let me get back in your plane. I like the way you fly. Amen. Come on, church. And it's just nature to us to want to be in charge and be in control. But every once in a while, we got to get so close to God. I don't know about y'all, but here lately, I've been thinking about Enoch. You know, he kept getting close to God, and then it was more of God than it was of Enoch, and all of a sudden, Enoch was no more. Amen. I hate to leave before my grandbabies got here, but if that could happen, I wouldn't mind being Enoch. I mean, just get so close to God. I just, you know, here's my theory. This is Ken's truth theory about Enoch. He's walking with God one day, and he got so close, God said, just come up and stay at the house a while, and that's what he's been doing now for the last 6,000 years. Glory. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking forward to doing that. I hope one day he just says, hey, why don't you just come on up here and be with me, and I get to go. Hello? Don't get that morbid look on your face. I'm not dying tomorrow. Glory. But if I do, you show up to my funeral, don't come in there singing some weird song. Church is what I want you to do. Get excited, because I'm going to be dancing in glory. I ain't going to be worried about y'all. Glory. Y'all have a good meal and enjoy yourself. And Frieda will be spending money. She's going to have money then. Glory. Amen. But now notice something, church. Number one, we go to that mountain. We're going to see it. First of all, in Exodus 19, you find the first circle that brought us to the people that at the base of the mountain. They're there at the bottom of the mountain, and they look up, and let's face it, they see the clouds. They see the lightning and the thundering. Amen. You know, I had a guy one time come up to me and said, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Said, I'm going to run right up the throne of God and sit down in God's lap. And I'm like, my Bible said there's thunder and lightning coming out of that thing. I don't believe you'll make it. Glory. Hello? But they're looking up the mountain, and they're seeing the clouds and the thunder and the lightning, and all of a sudden God told Moses, says, put a barrier around the bottom of the mountain, because if anybody steps on that mountain and they're not righteous and they're not ready, he said, then they're going to die. And so they put a barrier around the bottom of the mountain. And how many of you understands that a large majority of those people were just this happy and contented seeing God on top of the mountain and understanding he's over there and I'm over here, and as long as I can see him, I'm all right. Hello? I mean, they were fine long as he was the pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day leading them through the wilderness. But when that pillar of fire disappeared and Egypt was headed their way, they got pretty upset about that because they couldn't see God anymore. And we got a lot of people that are just contented at the bottom of the mountain. Just as long as I can feel a little touch every once in a while, or I can see God every once in a while, I'm all right. But can I tell you, that's not what God wants out of us. Amen. God wants us to sell out to him, to get close to him, to walk in his presence, and to desire and hunger to walk with him like never before. And I believe the problem we have in the church world, especially today, is that the majority of the people are willing to just have that relationship. Come on, church, smile at me. See, they're happy just to know God every once in a while. I've got a sign I'm gonna put up out here. Some of y'all may not like it, but I really don't care. Some of y'all griped about my rope thing too, but it's simply gonna say God wants full custody, not weekend visits. Hello? Yeah. I think we can get it on the sign. If we can't, we'll figure out to get a bigger sign or something. Glory. But you know, that's the way it is. God don't want just weekend visits. He wants full custody. He wants to be God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and not just Sunday, and not just every other Sunday, and not just every once in a while. He wants to have control of our lives. You say, wait a minute, preacher, God's not that way. God wants us to sell out to him. That's what the Bible's been trying to tell us all along. And you see, you can have as much as God as you want. That's the whole idea of this sermon. You are as close to God as you want to be. Hello? Come on, church. Say, preacher, I got a right to choose. You sure do. But I'll be honest with you, church. If I got a right to choose between being next to a God who can provide all my needs according to his riches and glory, or falling afar off and hope I grabbed a scrap somebody didn't get, I'm getting up there where I can get a hold to something that's going to carry me, that's going to help me. And I don't know about you, but I can't get too close. Could you say amen? And those people at the bottom of the mountain, they were close to God, but notice this, they were also far enough away that they began to think about other things, like other gods. Have you ever noticed people in the church who never really get close to God? It's not long till they start looking for answers for their problems from something else, and they end up back in the world messed up on something else because they didn't think God was good enough. You say, what are you talking about? These same people at the bottom of that mountain eventually had to have a golden calf, had to go back to worshiping idols because they forgot about the God that was on top of the mountain. mountain. The clouds never left. The thunder and lightning never left. But they had that distant view of God. And can I tell you, that's what's wrong with people in the church today. They got a distant view of a God who is a God that is a personal God. He is the God of the world or the God of the church. I got news for you, honey. He's my Lord. He is my Savior. He died for me. If nobody else in the world needed him, I needed him. And I thank God that at the very point that I was about to fall apart, he loved me enough to die for me. Could you say amen? Glory. I'm moving on. Just a 2-page outline. In chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, I don't have the scripture down. I'm just taking it there. You can read it. You'll find the second circle of Moses and others were invited to come up the mountain. God told Moses to go out and get the 70 elders, bring them with you. And he told him Nadab and Abihu can come and Joshua can come. So the best I could tell, there were 74 men went up the side of that mountain. They got up on the side of that mountain and they got a vision of God. Now church, notice, all of them were seeing something. Those on the ground saw the clouds, saw the lightnings. Those guys that were willing to qualify themselves enough to walk up that mountain, notice, it cost more to go up the mountain than it did to stand outside the barrier. See, that's what's wrong with some folks. You just stand outside the barrier and not have to give up something else to get over it. But if you're going to get on the mountain and move a little closer, there's some cost factor involved that you got to let go of some stuff, and you got to be willing to qualify yourself. And these guys qualified themselves to get up on the mountain, and notice what happened. They got there and they saw the feet of God standing on sapphire stone, and they come off that mountain talking about that experience. Oh, it was awesome. It was wonderful. But can I show you something? The Bible tells me that even though they got on the side of the mountain, paid a price to get there, that when they got off the mountain, everything went back to normal. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I've seen people like that. They go to church. They get them a good experience. God begins to bless. Next thing you know, man, they in church wide open. And then they forget about the experience they had. They forget about what they saw. Come on, church. And then next thing you know, they back over there where they were because God wasn't good enough. That vision wasn't good enough. Come on, church. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. The Bible said they went back down. They did eat and drink. What do you mean? They went right back to doing what they were doing before they went up on top of the mountain. You say, you can't prove that. They were still there when they pulled out the idols and started worshiping. Somebody said, oh, if I could just see God. People have seen God in the past, had a revelation of God in the past, and when the revelation died, they went on back where they were. Church, you got to understand, just a glimpse, God is not enough. I want to know him with everything that's in me. I want to know him with every fiber of my being, because God is worthy to be known. Hallelujah. Chapter 33. We're going to find another place. Joshua. All of a sudden Moses tells Joshua, come on, we're going to the top. Somebody said, my God, preacher, why did God choose Joshua? God didn't choose Joshua. Joshua chose God. In the opening scripture, I read you something that you need to pay attention to. Now, and Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua went to the top of the mountain because he got so hungry for God, he wasn't happy with anything less than the top. Come on, church. You know, hunger will make you do some stupid stuff. I was watching TV one night, and I saw some guys in Africa chasing a dude with a gun. All they had was sticks. Amen. And they had run him down the street, and some guy from Britain that was a newsman was chasing them with a camera filming these people. And they were chasing the dude with a gun. He'd turn around and shoot a couple of them, and the guy with a camera would jump behind a building, and he'd jump back out because they'd go back after him. As soon as he turned his back, started running, they'd chase him some more. And the more they chased him, the closer they got till they caught him. Now, luckily, when they caught him, you saw him getting hit with the sticks, and the guy took the camera away, didn't show him kill him. But they did eventually come back down the road, and what they did was they asked him, said, man, why'd y'all do that? He said he had the keys to the food. Our families were starving. And we knew no matter how many of us he killed, sooner or later we would get to him and get the keys and our family could have food. And church, I'll be honest with you, when we get hungry enough for God that it doesn't matter what it's going to cost me to get it, I'm willing to go. I've got a God who said, if you'll get hungry enough for me, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And it's time some of us got so hungry for God that I'm not going to give up. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what you talking about? Oh, Joshua had to go to work. Sure, he had a family he had to feed, but as soon as he got off, he went by the tabernacle to pray. Every morning he started out with prayer. Every time he turned around, they found him in that tabernacle, and because of that, he went to the top of the mountain. And church, some of us has got to make up our mind. My God is more important than anything else going on in my life. And if I seek him and I seek his presence, everything else is going to take care of itself. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I need. I don't have to. Oh, I need a healing. No, you need God. Oh, but I need finances. No, you need God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, well, preacher, you believe that? Listen, church, you cannot disconnect your relationship with God and your relationship to the church, because the church is his entity. Hello? You get hungry for God, you get hungry for church. Now, church, I'm just going to be honest with you. Majority of people in church today, they want church. They just want to show up and get blessed every once in a while. That's why so many churches are calling off Sunday night service, because they can't get folk to come back to church on Sunday night. Now, if you're working, that's one thing. But if you're off at the house watching something on TV, and let's face it, there ain't a whole lot on TV worth watching. Don't look at me like that. I mean, you know, you want to watch CSI Miami, where they're going to cut somebody open and find out who shot them? Why don't you just go out to the police station and watch some of that stuff in real? Hello? I mean, we got all these reality shows on, you know. 48 hours. In the first 48 hours, we got to find out who killed them or they're getting away. Glory. I get worried about that. I worry if them people watching them shows ain't trying to figure out how to get away with a perfect murder. Especially when I know somebody watches them all the time and I sleep in the same house she's in. Oh. I always make sure I'm awake when she goes to bed. And I do the cooking. Love you, sweetheart. You know, church, when I say church, I'm not talking about church as politics. Politics are key. Hello? I'm talking about church as a fellowship, as a family, where we get involved in what God's doing. Let's face it, God instituted the church in Acts when he began the church with 3,000 souls that first day, and it became an institution that functioned through him, by him, and for him. And that's what it's all about. And when we become the real church, then we lose agendas. We get worrying about my way, your way, his way, but it's always God's way. And we sell out to, come on, church. Amen. Just church stuff will kill you. I mean, you'll spend all your day long trying to figure out, am I going to get voted on the council, or am I going to get, listen, I got one guy that comes by me every time we have a minister meeting, you know, vote for me, brother, I'd really like to be on the council. I had one guy book me for revival. Of course, he booked every other event he could think of, saying, now y'all vote for me for the council. When he didn't get voted on, he canceled every stinking revival he booked with us. Glory. Because all he was doing was trying to buy him a vote. I looked at somebody and said, if I got to worry about getting on a state council where I have something else to worry about, I'm really worried. Glory. Hello? I don't know if y'all understand that or not. Getting on a state council is something you get done because guys have respect for you. But at the same time, if that's your monitor of life and that's your great thing, you messed up, because all we do is get in there and worry about more problems. And I got to be honest with you, church, I'm not going to worry about whether I get a vote or not. I'm worried about whether or not I'm serving God. And I understand that if I sell out to God, God will put me where he wants me. And if that's where he wants me, that's where I'll be. Could you say amen? Why is it getting quiet in here for some reason? I don't know what y'all tightening up for me for. Amen. Are any of y'all running for election or something? Glory. You got my vote. What is it? Glory. Smile. Circle number 4. They get to the top of the mountain, and all of a sudden Moses says, well, Joshua, you can't go no farther, son. I don't care how much you prayed right now. This is as far as you can go. I got to go on up yonder. And he strolls on to the top of the mountain. And man, notice what it said. And God spake unto Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. Oh, we sing that song, I am a friend of God. Isn't it great when you call God friend? But isn't it wonderful when God spins around and reverses that and starts talking to you as a friend? Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I like it when God starts acting like I'm somebody special. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. It's one thing for me to talk to God, but it's another for God to start talking to me. Come on, church. Y'all not getting what I'm telling you. Glory. I mean, y'all ain't never been around a great person and all of a sudden have them turn around and say something to you and suddenly realize they know who you are and they reckon, oh, come on, church. Don't look at me. I ain't the only person around here that acts like that. Amen. I've run into people in this world that's famous. I mean, I got run over by Val Kilmer in Atlanta Airport one day. I mean, it messed me up so bad I didn't even get a picture. No, he is an actor. He ain't as big as he looks in the movie either. He just caught me coming around the corner. I didn't see him till he hit me, and we both went flipping. He jumped up, grabbed his stuff, said, "Help me up." "I'm sorry, I'm late." And I said, "I figured that." He was gone. But you know, church, when people who are somebody acts like they know who you are, it means something to you. Come on, church. Don't sit there and act like it don't. You can be with somebody who's somebody, and other folks will think you somebody. I've been to Cleveland, Tennessee, sitting at the table eating with a general overseer, and suddenly folks that didn't even know who I was 15 minutes earlier would come, "Hey, Brother Ken, how you doing?" Like they didn't know who was on the other side of the table. Because I was with somebody, I became somebody. Hello? I got news for you. I got a God who knows me by name. And all there is nothing like being on your knees praying to God and suddenly feel God just kind of surround you and begin to treat you like you're his friend. Not that you just want to connect to him, but he wants to connect to you. And all that changes your life completely. Amen. The Bible said Moses said he talked to me. The Bible said he talked to Moses like he was his friend. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're only going to go past 12, are you?" Not much. New Testament, hurrying. There are also four realms. Number one, the multitudes followed him. New Testament said they followed him, thronged him. Times it got so thick they had to ask people to help him. But you ever notice how that multitude, he picked 12 that got intimate with him? Oh, they got to walk around with him, and they traveled with him everywhere he went. They got to see him heal the sick, raise the dead, saw him cast the demons out of a fellow over in Gadara. Amen. You know, church, just to show you what I was making a point of, you can have a religious experience and it mess everybody up. He cast the demons out of the guy, and everybody in Gadara got mad and told him to leave. Why? We don't need that here, buddy. You just messed up our whole church here. Because them hogs that jumped in the river, that was their sacrifices to their God. And now they got to raise another crop of hogs before they can have church. Glory. And they're all upset when what they should have done was forgot the hogs and just went with the one that could cast out demons. I don't know about y'all, but that made sense to me. Glory. Hello? Y'all may not believe this, but I got a friend of mine who got out of the will of God. He even admitted that later. Moved to another state to go to a church where he was going to be an associate in charge of youth. Thank God we got a God knows how to work things. He sent him up there so he realized what he had. 3 months later, he's fired up there. The church he left just happened to not be able to find anybody and hired him right back. They're happy, he's happy, everybody's happy. Glory. You know why they fired him in the other state? Because he started laying hands on the young people and God was blessing them. And they were running home scared, telling them, "I don't know what's going on. Oh my God, he touched me and I felt stuff running all over me." And I just went, and they went to tell their mom and dad. Mom and dad went to the preacher and said, "You got to get that guy out of there. He's about to ruin our kids." And the preacher fired him. I think they should have fired the pastor. Glory. Don't look at me like that, church. I don't think no pastor ought to be fired unless he just ain't doing his job. And you got a guy and God's moving, he's scared of it. I'm worried about that pastor. Hello? I guarantee you, if somebody comes through here preaching, they laying hands on folks and doodads is hitting them and they falling out, the kids going to be down there with them. Come on, church. You say, "Well, brother, we don't understand that." I don't have to understand it. I just got to believe it and get in it. Amen. I can't understand how God made the earth out of nothing, but he did it. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Them 12 got to see him doing a great miracle. If you ever notice, out of that 12, he took three. Peter, James, and John, I mean, they actually got to go to the Mount Transfiguration. They got to see some great things. They went with him down to Jairus' house when he run the church folks out. Hello? Don't look at me like that. It's in the Bible. He got there. The church folks were there. "Oh, she's dead." They bringing in food for the wake. Jesus come in and said, "Get them out." Took Peter, James, and John, went upstairs, leaned over the little girl, said, "Get up." She comes up and he turned around. Dad said, "Take her home. There's a move of God happening." Come on, church. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed out of that three, though, the Bible said there was one called John whom Jesus loved? Yeah, I read that one day and I thought, wait a minute. Does that say that Jesus loved John more than he loved the others? No. It meant John loved Jesus more than the others. You ever notice that guy that loved God so much couldn't die till God got ready for him to? I mean, you read Fox Books of Martyrs, you're going to find that every one of them had horrible deaths. I mean, they cut them head off. shot them with spears, hung them upside down. John, now he lived to be a ripe old age and just died. Hello? He said, preacher, what makes you so sure he couldn't die? Well, they tried to boil him in oil. He thought he was in a jacuzzi. They got him in the pot, and he's like, stick another log on. My left arm's still hurting. Glory. Hello? It's in your Bible. That's the Stroop version. Glory. They put him on an island where dead people was because everybody went there and died. I mean, it's bad water, poisonous snakes, no food. They leave him there, come back with another load to put out there because whoever went to that island went there to die. They get back. He's sitting on the dock saying, hey, can you get me back in town? I got a book I wrote out here. My God, it's going to be a bestseller. Glory. Amen. Well, preacher, that's silly. No, it's not. Because notice what he said. He said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake. And then he said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God began to reveal to him. Somebody said, preacher, does that work? Moses made it to the top of the mountain. Anytime you get that close to God, God will give you revelation that you don't get any other way. Said, preacher, prove that. Moses is on top of the mountain. Notice what he said. I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to show you. You ever figured out where Moses got the first five books of the Bible from? He wasn't there. God walked by him. That didn't take but a few seconds. Let's face it, writing the Ten Commandments, that didn't take forever. He just whipped out two tablets and scrolled on them with his finger, and it was there. The rest of the time, it was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness descended upon the face of the deep. And all he's doing is quoting to him what he's got to write down, which became the first five books of the Bible. See, Moses didn't write it. He just was the one doing the secretarial work. God was dictating every word that went down. Come on, church. Smile at me. Say, you can't prove that. Paul said all scripture was given by inspiration. That's the breath of God. He meant God breathed it. Moses wrote it. And it became real because, see, God was there. Moses wasn't, but God was. Come on, church. Hallelujah. He just took the deposition and wrote it down so we could read it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's all well and good, but what's this all about? Because you see, John got to do something and have a revelation that none of those other men got. He laid his head on the Savior's chest. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? He heard the heartbeat of God. Church, it's one thing to hold God at a distance. It's another to say, God, I want to know your heart. I want to know what you are wanting in your inner being to happen in me. And when that happens, it'll change you. It'll make you different because you yourself will begin to hear the very beat of the heart of God. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. I believe you, God, for your grace, for your presence, for your power. Lord God, have your way in the service. Hallelujah. Church, I believe with all my heart that God's getting ready to take us somewhere we've never been. For that to happen, we've got to be willing to follow. We are on the precipice of one of the greatest moves of God that we could have ever imagined. But to have that happen, we've got to move through the circles. We've got to head for the bullseye, which is God, and make up our mind nothing else matters. If that's your prayer this morning, I want you to join me in this altar saying, God, I want to know you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a secret, church. The secret to moving in God is to know Him, is to know His glory. Oh, Lord, show us your glory.
Because the closer you get to God, the more of His glory He reveals into your heart and into your life. And the more of His glory is revealed, the greater the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, holy. God, have your way. Church, would you just raise your hands and just begin to praise Him now? Just open up your heart to Him and let Him touch you. Just open up your heart to Him and let Him move. There is an awesome presence of God here right now. Just let Him begin to move in you. Let Him begin to touch the very inner being of who you are. Hallelujah. 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 His name again. He is God, have your touch us with your anointing, God. Touch us. Holy, 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 holy God. Holy, holy God. Pray, church. I'm holding because God is actually speaking to someone in this building who has not moved to the front of this building yet. And He's saying, you've been wanting Me greater in your life. This is your chance. And I'm telling you exactly what God has already spoke to you. You've been sitting there thinking, this is my chance. This is it. Come on. God just wants to wrap His arms around you. God wants to make a difference in you. Come on. Come on. Say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm not talking to an unsaved person. I'm talking to somebody that just wants a closer walk with God. Somebody's been seeking a deeper experience in God. And God's saying to you, this is your chance. This is your chance. This is the opportunity to move into a level you've only dreamed of in the past. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Church, would you just raise your hands and just worship Him? He is awesome in this building right now. He's awesome in this building right now. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for His presence this morning. Church, I really believe what I said to you just a moment ago. I believe with everything that is in me that we are on the very edge of one of the greatest moves of God we could have ever dreamed of in this church. What we've got to do is turn toward God and go with all we got toward Him. We do that, that building on the hill will take care of itself. I don't know about y'all, but I've actually walked out there on that field and claimed it. It already belongs to the church, but I'm claiming a building on it. Somebody said, well, you just want to build a building. I really don't. I want to build people.
if enough people get around here, we'll need that building. Church, I believe in missions. Thursday night, there were 30 something thousand plus another six, so there was almost $40,000 came in the offering for World Missions Thursday night. Not counting pledges, that was cash or checks. The state of Alabama. That's close. We're wanting $250,000 this year, but that's a good start. Hello? I like it. Yeah, I give to missions. I've got missionaries I send money to from time to time. And I go to mission field, I always carry extra money. We were in Honduras every time we went. Every time we passed a pastor, he got money. I saw to it. I believe in that. But am I not wrong to keep sending money to other places and live the third largest mission field in the world and do nothing about the people around me dying and going to hell? I've been a missionary for 35 years in America. I've been all around the world, but I've been in America more than that. But Alabaster's loaded down with folks that ain't right. Amen. That are hurting and need Amen. To know the God that we feel in this building right now. And we've got to get motivated somehow to get a hold of them, bring them here, and let God just... Somebody told me, they said, oh, the church is already full. What do we need? We need to blow the doors off this place. I don't know about y'all. Amen. I don't know if y'all figured it out yet or not, but God might have put me here because I don't mind preaching. I can have three services on Sunday. Ain't going to bother me at all if I have to get everybody in this building till we can build one big enough. Hello? Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all go, oh, God, preacher, you don't have to come. Oh, I'm saying we get y'all here and then bring another crew in. I'll just stay here and have church with them. I'll change clothes in the back and come out with a new suit on and tear it up one more time. I want to get so many people going here, we can't stand it. I'm serious. That guy must have thought he was discouraging me the other day. He said, yeah, you got the building full. So? They ain't in the parking lot yet. Hello? You know what my dream is, and I'm fixing to let you go. I'm in a church in New York City. The pastor walked up, and he said, can I have some of the members of our church stand? There's sinners on the street. The fire marshal won't let them in. Well, y'all dismiss yourselves so those sinners can come in and hear the word of God. And I watched a couple of 300 people file out a door. And as they went out, the fire marshal counted them, opened the other door, and started letting people in off the streets. And I saw drug addicts and prostitutes and gang members coming in. And I saw them in the altar that night. And I thought to myself, man, could we not have that problem? That we might ask some of y'all, hey, could y'all leave and come back after a while and I'll have church with you so I can preach to these people that showed up and need God? Amen.